Shifcha on the parasha for Mishpatim, Tavshin, Pei Beis. Thank you, first of all, to Avi and Jessica Schreiber for sponsoring tonight's Shifcha on the parasha shir, in loving memory of Avi's grandmother, Amy Schreiber. May her neshama have an aliyah. Thank you for the sponsorship, and shall we continue learning in her memory. We have a pasuk, Ve'ela HaMishpatim Asher Tassim Lifneihem. So many words in this pasuk which are darshaned in one way or another. Ve'ela, Rashi already says, what is ve'ela? Ve, the letter vav, is usually additional. It's building upon whatever came before it. So Rashi asks, what are we talking about? These mishpatim are somehow connected to the Aseret HaDibros? Yes. Just like the Aseret HaDibros were written, and were written in the Torah, were given over at Har Sinai, so too these following mishpatim. Why would you think otherwise? Why would you ever think mishpatim aren't going to be given at Har Sinai? We take it for granted, but the truth is, one could have said, God gives us the God things. Hashem tells us about the things that are between us and Him. When it comes to man, okay, you make a just society the way you see fit. You determine, maybe you should say something such a thing. Says the Torah, says Rashi, say Chazal, ve'ele ha-mishpatim, also these laws, in addition to those that you heard about believing in God, these laws also were mentioned at Har Sinai. And then the pasuk says, "Asher tasim." What is tasim? And then what's lifnehem? Lifnehem. The word lifnehem can be before them, meaning you put it in front of them. I always like the sort of the imagery of that, right? You don't put it, you don't force it upon somebody, but you put it in front of them. They want it, they'll take it themselves. Judaism is not a religion of forcing people to do things. Judaism is a religion of inspiring people to do things. And if you put it in front of them in the right way, so then they'll find the reason and the motivation themselves. And once it's their choice to take it, so then that autonomy is what gives them that purpose. But if you just tell them they have to do this, you have to do that, so then ultimately, especially in the world that we live in, people are not going to take that very lightly if they're compelled to do something. But the word lifnehem could have a different meaning. Not just in front of them. Not just put these laws in front of them. But lifnehem meaning before them. What does it mean, before them? That you should know, and the Kutzker Rebbe talks about this also, but I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to read this one inside, although it's an interesting concept. Lifnehem means that the Torah came before them. They sometimes think, especially when it comes to civil law, that they know better, and that they know how things should be adjudicated or how things should be balanced out in society based on what their values are. But they ask, no, lifnehem. The laws that God gave to dictate how the world should run were put into place before people were there. And therefore, they have to know that they're no different than anybody else, and they should be governed by the laws that were put into nature beforehand. But the Chiddush HaRim goes back to Af Elim Yisinai, as I said before, the Chiddush HaRim, Rabbi Yitzchak Meir Alter. This is Af Elim Yisinai, Rashi, it told us, Im ki ha-mishpatim halalu heim sichliim. As I said before, these mishpatim, these laws, are intellectual laws. They're commonsensical laws. They're the ones that we make, that we understand. Don't kill, don't steal, don't damage, and if you damage, you got to pay back the damages, right? Pay the doctor bills, pay them, you know, what it takes to get them back on their feet. That we all understand. That makes sense, right? It makes sense. You have to pay back that which you damaged. Hare enam ella Torah Misinai. You should know that those are also Torah Misinai. Not only are they from Sinai, and you shouldn't think otherwise, but lo pachos me'osan ha-mitzvos. They're no less significant than those from Har Sinai that you would think. Shehein ben adam lamakom, those that are between you and God. Now this, when I read this Chiddush HaRim, it's not like I hadn't heard it before. I'm not sure it's its own Chiddush. But I think about this in a lot of different contexts. I once heard from a Rebbe of mine many years ago that you imagine if somebody would say to someone who smokes that there is a Jewish person who smokes, you'd tell them, do you know that cigarettes are made with pork? What would they do? They would obviously, well, first of all, they'd look into it, but they'd stop it immediately. How could I eat pork? They might come up with some svara. Okay. That's not a bad point. But the point is, my point is that that when it comes to Beinam Lamakum, we can do those easily. The second you tell someone, don't smoke, it's not good for you, I know better. No, it's my body. I can understand what I need. I know how my body responds to it. I can take care of myself. Wait a second. The Torah also has the pasuk, Ushmartim Ola Nasasechem. That's the same level of Doraisa as don't eat pork. And yet you're ignoring one and you're taking the other. Or how about taxes, cheating on your taxes? I know. Shabbos, that's for Hashem. But taxes, I can finagle it. I can cut corners. I know how to get away with it. It's not that bad. So when is it that we have this inclination that we think to ourselves, I can best the system, I can circumvent the system? It's only when it comes to Ben Anulah Chaver, because we, for some reason, we believe, because of the common sense nature of it, that we know, because that's the nature of the mitzvah, it's something that we can relate to. And therefore, we can relate to it in one way, or we can relate to it in a different way, the way Hashem told us to, or the way that we think it's most relevant. So comes this Rashi, Af Elu Misinai. Just because we call it Ben Anulah Chaver doesn't mean you know any better. Just because we say that it's something which goes between man and man, that it's interactive between two human beings, doesn't mean that it's any less ordained by Hashem. That Af Elu Misinai means we have to keep those just as stark as we keep the other mitzvahs, Ben Adam Malcolm, the mitzvahs that we hold dear, like not eating pork, we should also hold dear about not saying Lashon Hara, do our best.
Background.
There might be leeway for people that are growing, you know, if they have a certain, obviously everyone has to work at the yard line that they're at. Some people are at the 20-yard line, some people are at the 50-yard line, and you have to make those decisions. You have to go 1 yard more than wherever you were yesterday. But in terms of what the halacha is all the same, ideally.
You're making a very deep point, actually.
Thank you.
Because you're saying that, are you saying that every human being or most human beings have a sense that morality comes from above? It's a matter of command and obedience.
I don't think people think that. I think people should think that. But it depends on the halakha. It depends.
I mean, some people just have a very rebellious nature.
I hear that. Right, for sure. Those types of people you have to deal with very differently than other people that are open-minded. But yeah, for sure, it is how you apply it, I would say, is conditional, or how you apply it is relative. But what it is, the halacha, is Misinai, right? That's how we have to know that. Whether that can be understood easily by somebody else or accepted easily by somebody else is a different story. Yes, Steve?
Just things in general, what we do now is we try to rationalize people said, this is what you're supposed to do. I may not be able to do it, but I'm not denying that the optimal is this for the halacha.
I hear, right. You're saying, like in Eretz Yisrael, somebody's non-observant. It's not that they're reformed, they're just non-observant. When it comes to having their bar mitzvah, they go to an Orthodox shul. Right. There is definitely such a culture. If you look later on in the parsha tells us about how to treat those who are most vulnerable. Kol almana v'yastam lo sa'anun, that the widow and the orphan you shall not torture or pain.
Are you missing somebody in there?
There are other psukim that also talk about gerim. This one happens to not, but there are definitely other psukim that talk about gerim. Absolutely. Some in the same exact sense, but there is a greater description when it comes to gerim, which is not applied to widows and orphans, which is that you should know even better about gerim because you were gerim. You were foreigners in Egypt, right? So that was a little bit of a different description than you have by the widow and the orphan. But says Rebbe Mikas, the Kasker Rebbe, Kavu Lashon Im Ane Sa'aneh. Ano Sa'aneh? I don't remember how it's pronounced. But if you will torture them, if you shall surely torture them, Ano Sa'aneh. It says it twice, the same word. Ayin Nun Hey. Because if they scream out to me, I shall listen, Hashem says. Hakol kaful. Why is every verb in this pasuk? Why is it always doubled? So says the Kasker. Im adam mitzar la'acher. If someone were to pain another, just another person, az rak tzaro al davar zeh. You're giving them the pain of whatever that thing is, that activity. Aval ha'almana v'hayasom. But when it comes to the widow or the orphan, tzaram kaful. Their pain is double. It's not just that they're feeling the pain of whatever you did to them, but then they think to themselves, oh, if my dad was here, he would protect me, I wouldn't have to. Oh, if my husband was here, he would protect me, I wouldn't. Or if my wife was here, she would protect me some way or another. So therefore, that pain that you're causing, you're reigniting that trauma. Trauma is a specific word. But you're reigniting that difficulty, you're reigniting that pain, which wouldn't have been there otherwise.
They have lowered feelings anyhow.
Okay, they're much more sensitive as their nature, for sure. But we're talking in terms of the reintroduction of pain. You're reintroducing a new pain, that's why it's two inois. It's two pains. This is a pasuk, Chaf Beis Chaf Aleph, 22-21. Aval Haman Vesmasarim Kaful, V'lachein Nichtav Kaful, Hatzar mipitiras bahla o aviv. It's reigniting the pain of their lost one, the lost loved ones. V'ulai haremez biikar kim chas v'shom mitra amim klaf imala v'zetzo kitzak ilai lam lakach Hashem yitzbarach bahla o aviv v'lachin shma shma. It could even be looked at in the pasuk itself. They scream out to Hashem, not right the phrase when it says that they're going. They're going to surely scream out to me is also kaful. Number one, it's the screaming out of pain. How could this happen to me? And number two, how could that have happened to me? That I lost my parents, that I lost my spouse. So each one is doubled because it's really a double pain every single time. We always have to be very, very careful about who we're talking to and how we're talking to them. This is not, by the way, this is not an argument to not say things that are difficult to people. You know, sometimes we think, oh, that's going to be too hard to say, therefore I'm not going to say. There are some things that are important to say. Midvar Sheker Tirchak is also in this week's Parsha. You can't pretend like something's not going on when it's really going on. If you have to tell somebody something, even if it's a difficult thing, that doesn't mean don't say it. It means find a way to say it that's not going to be hurtful. Right? And that's, I think, harder and harder to do in the world we live in. For some reason, people are getting so sensitive about talking about things they disagree with that we have to find ways to say things respectfully, so that people can hear them and accept them properly. A last idea here about Shabbos. Mishpatim reiterates Shabbos. Sheshes yamim ta'aseh ma'asecha. It's a little different than other times we talk about Shabbos. For 6 days, you do your doings. You write ta'aseh ma'asecha, speaking of double language, ta'aseh ma'asecha, do the doings.
Do your thing.
Do your thing, yeah. Someone just sent me It happened to be a political joke, but it was like a sign. I think it was a Seinfeld, where one of the characters says to the other one, "What are you going to do?" And the other one says, "I'm going to do what I always do. I'm just going to do what I do." What are you talking about? He's like, "I'm just going to do what I do." It's just a funny little clip. But so here also, ta'asem asacha, do what you do. Do what you do for 6 days. You can do what you do. But on the Uvayom Hashvi, on the seventh day, Tishbos. Then you rest. Leman Yanuach, why do you rest? So that Shorcha v'chamarecha, so that there also will be rest. So that the ox and the donkey will also rest. V'inafesh ben amascha v'hager, and you'll give rest or a breath, technically, literally. To the maidservant and to the local, I don't think this is referring to a ger like a convert, but a ger tzedek, like a ger toshav, yeah. Someone who's living among you and sort of assumed Jewish culture. But the point, the question from one of the ger rabbeim, I don't even actually know who it is. I just know that it comes from ger. It says, Admor Migor. I don't know who it is. It could be the Beis Yisrael, it could be others. But ma mashva'o shel leman yanuach. What does it mean? So that they'll rest. Ha'im zeu hatam l'menuchas ha-Shabbos? We rest leman yanuach. Why do you rest on Shabbos? Oh, so my donkey will rest. That's not a reason. I rest so that my donkey rests. What kind of thing are we talking about? V'yesh lomar shakavana hi uvayom hashvi tishbos. On the seventh day, it's not just don't do malacha, but there's a tishbos, there's an active aspect to Shabbos. This is what we would call Shabbostik. There's a physical or a tangible entity called being Shabbostik. Being Shabbostik is not just the negation of being weekday dick. It's its own thing unto itself. You act differently on Shabbos. It's not simply that we don't turn on our phones, but it's that we focus on spiritual things. It's that we daven better. It's that we learn better. It's that we relate to our family better. We think about Hashem more. There are things you do on Shabbos, not just refraining from work. So says the Ger Rebbe here, Uvayom Hashvi Tishbos. You have to make that environment. You have to make that lifestyle. V'hachanos atzumos, with significant preparation. V'slavus gedola, with great fervency. V'kdusha, with holiness. Uvetara, with purity. Uveoneg, and with pleasure. Uvesimcha, with joy. It has to be an actual, tangible activity, not just, I'm not turning on my phone. That's not Shabbos. Shabbos is about doing something on Shabbos. And that aspect of making that environment is lamanya, nilach shorcha v'chamarecha, so that, shetachnes as kedushas ha-shabbos v'siyosecha, v'teva u'bali chayim, so that everything around you becomes Shabbosic. Everything around you. Now the ox and the donkey are obviously symbolisms for your environment. Your possessions, your home, the things that are in your house, everything is keeping Shabbos. Your whole house transforms. It's not just, we're not going to touch that thing, but now we're using this house differently. The whole home is a different home. B'teva u'vali chayim, whether it's in nature or whether it's with your animals, shehakol yamushba me'ashabbos hashelcha, that everything should be influenced by your form of resting, by your doing things that are Shabbos. The kivhiyam ha'mishem ha'zupar etzah Rabbi Yochanan torta. There's a Gemara, I think it was in Brachos, Sheshoro lo rato avod b'shabbos gam etzel gais, that his ox didn't even want to do any work, even on Shabbos. Even if he was by a non-Jew, he had rented out his animal to a non-Jew, and then he got to the non-Jew's house, and the donkey still didn't want to do any work. Because he knew it was Shabbos. There's something in his bones, in the environment that he grew up in, he knew about Shabbos. And that's what it means here. That aspect of Tishbos, of making a Shabbos environment, that's for the sake of having influence on the environment around you. So that's what it means here. It's not that we're keeping Shabbos so that our donkey keeps Shabbos, but that we're making things Shabbosic so that our environment is Shabbosic, so that the things around us are keeping Shabbos too. And that's a very important idea. I think sometimes we begrudgingly enter Shabbos. Oh, I can't watch the news. Oh, I can't, keep up with my Twitter feed. Oh, I can't use my phone. I can't play this game. I can't go to work. I can't drive to my favorite whatever store. So it's not just a day to not do the things we do during the week. It's a day to do the things that we should do on Shabbos. Davening better, learning better, being with family better, and obviously introspecting and thinking about Hashem better. That's what Shabbos is for. And when we can do that, we can transform not only our Shabbos, but the Shabbos around us, everything around us, everyone around us, will have a Shabbos experience.
You have to have some of that Shabbos, that idea, mm-hmm. Every day, because especially with the young people, okay. They're so into their phones, they're so okay. Into their little.
Baruch Hashem for Shabbos. You know, Baruch Hashem for Shabbos.
So they have. It's yeah. Very hard for them to spend. To become group-minded.
Right. Imagine if they didn't have Shabbos, how connected they would be to their phone.
Well, yeah.
That Shabbos gives them the ability to detach, even during the week. I think you're right. That ability where they need to stop being on their phone, they need to pay attention in class, they need to daven, they get that ability from not doing it on Shabbos. But yeah, you're right, that we can always use a little bit more of detachment, of unplugging, if you will.
Yeah.
But I want to just make one more point in terms of the Shabbostik, the Shabbostik concept, which is that sometimes you'll hear Shaila. I remember a Rav from YU came to my yeshiva, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever, and he said he was asked a Shaila, can a guy go to a football game on Shabbos? He's in college or is in high school or whatever. I want to go to a football game. I'll get the tickets beforehand. They just look at the tickets. I'm just walking onto the bleachers. He said, you're right. There's nothing usher about going to a football game. There's nothing. I can't look at any malacha. There's no malacha. The 39 doesn't list don't go to a football game. It's not on there. But it is a violation of Tishbos. you're not keeping Shabbos. You might be not doing a weekday, but you're not keeping Shabbos. So while it's true, he can't tell him you can't go, at the same time he can encourage him not to go and to instead keep Shabbos for Shabbos.
I see kids playing ball.
That's a different, there is a complicated, that's a complicated question, especially with kids. But you're right. That's in terms of how you want to do chinuch, but I'm with you on that one. But that's a tightrope. That one's a tightrope. Yeah. Okay. Shkayach, thank you everyone for joining, and thank you Gil for making the chillin, and thank you Schreiber's Avi and Jessica for sponsoring Eloy Nishmas, his grandmother Amy Schreiber. Mir Tashem, we should all take these ideas into our lives and have a wonderful Shabbos.